I'd like to also thank the elders for coming to me and asked me to preach this morning. And thank you for Sarah and her patience as I prepared this lesson. You know, when you're at home and when you're normally not at home and you're trying to prepare a lesson, your wife will often say to you, "See, this is how hard it is to get things done." So with two little ones, one of them running around and the other one crawling around, you learn what your wife goes through each day. So thank you, Sarah. This lesson really was something that was on my mind because of a verse that we'll look at here in a moment. But I'd like for us to think about kindness and what kindness is. You know, you may think about kindness. When you think about it, you may think about standing at the back of the building or at a grocery store, opening the door for someone. That's a kind act that we can do. Maybe you think about taking a meal to someone, showing kindness to them in that way. Maybe it's by using kind words like please and thank you. And to me, when I think about kindness, initially I think about small acts, small things that we do. You know, you may also think about some Bible examples. When I thought about kindness, I thought about Boaz and what he does with Ruth in the beginning of the book of Ruth, chapter 2, where he tells his workers to leave something aside for Ruth so that she can have food to take care of her and her mother-in-law. And we'll talk about Ruth a little bit more later, a little later on. Or maybe you think about the Good Samaritan, a man who passes someone on the roadside, doesn't know him, has no concern for him, but yet stops, bandages his wounds, takes him to an inn, and even pays for him to have a place to stay and to be taken care of. Or maybe it's 1 Corinthians 13 that comes to mind. And actually, I ask you to look at 2 Chronicles, but if you would, turn over to 1 Corinthians. A verse that we all think about when we think about love. And one of the attributes that's given to us in 1 Corinthians 13, if you'll read with me in verse 4, it says, "Love suffers long and is kind." So when we think about kindness, really we should think about love. We should think about a part of love and what it is to love someone or show our concern for them, and that is to be kind to them, to show kindness toward them. And so, if you've put your finger there, we'll turn back to 2 Chronicles chapter 24. And I actually want to go to the end of the story about Jehoiada and look at 2 Chronicles 24 and beginning in verse 17. And here we see the death of Jehoiada. Jehoiada was a priest. And he had done many great things, which we're going to talk about, had shown many acts of kindness. But what I want us to focus on as we read these verses is how quickly kindness can be forgotten. In verse 17, it says, "Now after the death of Jehoiada, the leaders of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. Therefore, they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served wooden images and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem because of their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not listen. Then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, who stood above the people and said to them, 'Thus says God, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he also has forsaken you.' So they conspired against him And at the command of the king, they stoned him with stones in the court of the house of the Lord. In verse 22, notice the word kindness here. It says, thus Joash, the king, did not remember the kindness which Jehoiada, his father, had done to him, but killed his son. We see that as quickly as kindness can be given out, as quickly as kindness can be given, love can be shown, unfortunately, kindness can be forgotten. And we see this here from the young King Joash. And so I have three main points for us to consider this morning, to think about, to help challenge us to be kind people, to be people who are willing to go the distance, to step maybe outside of ourselves, and to show kindness to those around us. So if we turn back to chapter 23, actually 22, the reading there, I want us to think about this. Kindness cares for those who cannot care for themselves. We see from the reading that Jehoiada lived during a very tumultuous time during the kingdom of Judah. He served as a priest under Ahaziah, and Ahaziah, once he died as king, we read in verse 10 of chapter 22, it says, now when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal heirs of the house of Judah. Now Athaliah was the daughter of King Ahab, the husband of Jezebel. And if you know anything about the Old Testament scriptures, you know Ahab and Jezebel. You know those two names, and you know how evil they were. So you can only imagine what the offspring, their offspring, were capable of, and we see it here in this verse. We see that Athaliah, she sees the opportunity for herself, after her son dies, for her to kill all the royal heirs and to claim the throne as her own and to make herself queen. And she does just that, with the exception of one individual. We see Jehoshabeth, the wife of Jehoiada. She takes it upon herself. They take into the temple. They take into, I'm not sure it says in verse 11, it says into a bedroom. And they provide housing for Joash, who will be named king. So we see this kindness being shown to a small little baby who at this time, based on what we read in chapter 23, is about a year old or less. So Jehoiada and Jehoshabeth together, along with the nurse that is taken away and hidden with Joash, they raise him up over the next 6 years. You know, this kind of kindness is something that may be hard for us to relate to, but in reality, this is the kind of kindness that we must have ourselves. You know, we have the same responsibility today to show kindness to those who cannot care for themselves. And your mind may immediately go to the topic of abortion. And you may think, this is one area where we must pick up and fight the battle and show kindness to those who cannot fight for themselves. In Psalm 127, if you'd like to turn there, Psalm 127 in verse 3, it says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb is a reward. You know, I've known Christians who themselves, in the midst of turmoil in pregnancy, have considered abortion. But God tells us here that children are a heritage from the Lord. They are a fruit of the womb. They are something to be prized. They are something that is special. And it is our responsibility as Christians to show kindness, to help teach the world to show kindness to the unborn child. In 2 Kings 17, we won't turn and look at this, but in 2 Kings 17, we see one of the main reasons that is given as the downfall of Israel and as they are taken into captivity by the Assyrians. It says in 2 Kings 17, verse 17 and 18, that they had caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire. Small children, innocent children, were being sacrificed as live sacrifices to idols. You know, this isn't abortion, but in my mind, it's the same thing. It's sacrificing someone who cannot care for themselves. And Jehoiada and his wife, Jehoshabeth, show us, I think, a great example of kindness. They take it upon themselves to take in Joash, the little baby, and for 6 years to care for him, to raise him up, and then, as we'll see, present him in just a moment. You know, I think another example where we need to be kind and show care for those who can't care for themselves is the way we speak and the way we act towards young children, maybe even our own children, those of our own house. You know, it's our responsibility, especially as fathers, as we celebrate Father's Day. In Colossians chapter 2, if you'd like to turn over there with me, fathers, Colossians chapter 2, a verse that we're all familiar with. It says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." You know, we need to have realistic expectations for our children, and we need to hold them accountable to those expectations, but they need to be realistic expectations. And it's our responsibility to show kindness. Sometimes when we even think we've reached our limit, I'm at the end of my rope, I've been patient, I've been kind, I've been okay until now, but I've reached my breaking point and I can't do it anymore. Well, that's a sorry excuse for us to not show kindness to someone who needs it the most. You know, if anyone has reached their limit on patience, it would be God, who has been the most patient with us. So as we think about the kindness that we see in Jehoiada and his wife here, and caring for those who care for themselves, let's think about ourselves and how we need to be kind to those who cannot care for themselves. So Second Chronicles chapter 23, verse 1, it says, "Now in the seventh year," that is the seventh year of the life of Joash, "in the seventh year, Jehoiada strengthened himself and made a covenant with the captains of hundreds." Now, John, I don't think he's talking about fitness by design, P90X, whatever it is that you're into to strengthen yourself physically. I think what he's talking about here is a mental strength. And this may have been something that Jehoiada had been preparing himself for the last 6 years. Because what he's about to do takes a lot of mental strength, takes a lot of courage. You know, kindness is something, if we want to be kind, if we want to show kindness to someone, sometimes we have to go outside of our comfort zone. We have to step outside of ourselves. We have to think outside the box. We have to go above and beyond what we may think we're even capable of doing. And I think that's what we see here in Jehoiada. We see him strengthening himself. He makes a covenant to basically overthrow Queen Athaliah. And he creates a coup scenario where he sets up guards. He sets up men of strength. He makes arrangements with these captains who are over hundreds to be able to bring out and present Joash. To bring him out before the people who are, I'm sure, the last 6 years have been nothing but torture for them. to have Queen Athaliah as a ruler over them. And he brings him out, and it says, even that in verse 9, it says that he gave them the spears and the shields that had belonged to King David. You know, Jehoiada is pulling out all the stops here. He has taken out the military weaponry that was used by King David himself in their battles. He's made arrangements. He's made plans to set up these certain positions for men to hold and to not allow people to come or go so that they can appoint the 7-year-old Joash king. And I'd like to make a note of something here. I need to flip this up. You know, this is often... I think how we are. This is how I am. You know, this is my that's my comfort zone. You know what happens here? That's where the magic happens. That seems a little corny, maybe. So oftentimes we spend so much time here that we just can't get outside of ourselves to get to a place where things happen. And I can't help but think about Jehoiada. And he had so much kindness in his heart that he was willing to step outside of himself, that he was willing to do what it took in this difficult situation to appoint King Joash to his rightful throne. And he doesn't stop there. If we continue on in chapter 23 and read verse 14, let's start in verse 12, and it says, "Now when Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came to the people in the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, there was the king standing by his pillar at the entrance. And the leaders and the trumpeters were by the king. All the people of the land were rejoicing and blowing trumpets, also the singers with musical instruments, and those who led in praise. So Athaliah tore her clothes and said, 'Treason! Treason!' And Jehoiada the priest brought out the captains of the hundreds who were set over the army and said to them, 'Take her outside under guard and slay her with the sword, and slay with the sword whoever follows her.' For the priest had said, 'Do not kill her in the house of the Lord.' So they seized her, and she went by the way of the entrance of the house of the horse gate into the king's house, and they killed her there." Jehoiada had a plan. He had a plan to appoint Joash as king. He had a plan on what to do with Queen Athaliah after she came to the realization that she would no longer be in power. And he carried that plan out. And I think it was the kindness that we see of Jehoiada that compelled him to go this distance, to take it to this level. So number one, kindness cares for those who cannot care for themselves. Number two, kindness will make us go outside of our comfort zone. And number three, kindness will bring us back to the truth. And I think we see that happen here between Jehoiada and the newly appointed King Joash. In 23 verse 16, where we left off there, it says, "Then Jehoiada made a covenant between himself, the people, and the king, that they should be the Lord's people. And all the people went to the temple of Baal and tore it down. They broke in pieces its altars and images and killed Matan, the priest of the Baal, before the altars. And Jehoiada appointed the oversight of the house of the Lord and the hand of the priests, the Levites, whom David had assigned in the house of the Lord, to offer the burnt offerings of the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and with singing, as it is written, as it was established by David. We see a return from years and years of evil reign. We see all the way back to the mother, to Queen Athaliah, to Queen Athaliah's son, Ahaziah, both evil individuals who had reigned over the nation of Judah. They also restored the temple in chapter 24. If we look at chapter 24 of 2 Chronicles, it says, "Then Joash was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years. And Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord." In verse 4, "Now it happened after this that Jehoiada set his heart on repairing the house of the Lord." So he and Jehoiada set out to totally renovate and restore the temple of God. And we see that this is completed. In verse 13 it says, "So the workmen labored, and the work was completed by them. They restored the house of God to its original condition and reinforced it. And the money that they had collected from the people was continuing to come in to be able to pay for this restoration." And in verse 14 we see that they took the extra funds and they bought golden vessels that would be used in the worship to God. You know, all it takes is the kindness of one individual. It just takes one person to be able to make a change, to make a difference. We see this in Hezekiah. If we turn over just a few chapters to 2 Chronicles 31, I think a king that we're all very familiar with, if you've studied the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles 31, actually in chapter 30, but we won't look at that, but Hezekiah is a king who essentially discovers that they are not following God the way that they should. And he reestablishes all the laws that God has set forth. He reestablishes the Passover. They observe the Passover with great, great excitement. And in chapter 31, after they've observed the Passover, it says, "Now when all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah and broke down the sacred pillars in pieces, cut down the wooden images, and threw down the high places and the altars from all Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned to their own cities, every man to his possession." You know, the actions of Hezekiah, like I think Jehoiada, spurred on people to want to turn back to the truth. They saw the ability of someone who was a leader, who encouraged them, who challenged them, and the kindness that was coming from this individual was something that wanted them to be better, wanted them to tear down idols, wanted them to be part of the restoration movement. And we see Jesus himself doing the same thing in Matthew 21 when he drives out those who are buying and selling in the temple. He goes in not out of anger, but out of, really, if you think about it, his love. The love that he has for God, the kindness that he had, that he wanted to be shown to God and the things that were his, and drives out the money changers who are conducting business in the house of God. And so lastly, I want us to think about Jesus himself, who really ultimately shows the ultimate kindness. If you would, turn with me over to John chapter 15. Look at three verses, and then we'll wrap up the lesson this morning. John 15 and verse 13. "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." You know, we talked about the correlation of kindness being a characteristic of love. You know, there's no greater kindness, there's no greater example of love than Jesus himself saying here, "You know what? I'm gonna pay the ultimate price. I'm gonna lay down my life for you. In Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, we see Paul writing and reminding us of Christ here. He says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." You know, we should be emulating Christ. We should be wanting to be like him. And here we see the greatest example as we're talking about this love, this kindness that Jesus shows for us. And lastly, I'd like to look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And beginning in verse 16. We'll read a few verses here. I'd like to read verses 16 through 23. 1 John 3, 16 through 23. It says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." You know, we see this ultimate sacrifice that Jesus showed us. He laid down his life for us. And we're given the challenge here in 1 John chapter 3 that it's our responsibility as Christians. It's our challenge to take that example that we've been given and turn it around and show that love for someone else. Not by the words that we say, but by the things that we do, the actions that we show someone. So I challenge us this morning to show kindness in every opportunity that you have, to show kindness to those who cannot care for themselves, to show kindness and make it challenge you to get outside of your comfort zone, and to show kindness in a way that it will challenge and bring others around you to want to know the truth, to want to be drawn to Jesus himself. You know, we're told here in this last passage, it says, in verse 23, for this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. That's the ultimate challenge for us, to set aside ourselves, to show our love for Jesus. And the way that we can do that is by obeying him. We can put him on in baptism. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he's the Son of God, you're willing to set aside your past life and to make a change and make your life new, you can put him on in baptism. You can confess that you believe that he is the Son of God and be baptized this morning. If that's your need, if you need the prayers of the congregation here, we ask you, we urge you to come forward as we stand and sing.